that you could do to earn it. That's what makes our God so good. Somebody's having a fit over there. Praise the Lord. Amen. I like it. Praise God. I like that. It's a blessing. He is enough. Amen. Proverbs chapter 18. I hope you found your place in Proverbs chapter 18. When you look in your Bible at the 24th verse there, it says that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Will you say that with me? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Can we do it again? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I hope you paid attention to what that is telling us. Remind you, that's God's Word. It is totally true. It is fully inspired. It is His message to you and I today in this generation. I'm going to stop with just those 9 words, but oh, a powerful punch that our Lord, through the pen of Solomon, gave us in just these 9 words. Now, you would not think that making friends and maintaining friends, friendship in general, you would not think that that would be a tough topic for today's church. And I'm telling you, I've learned over the years that it really is. And there are a lot of people probably listening to me even right now that struggle with this very truth. So today, I want to speak with you on this tough topic, okay? Write it down and get it in your heart. It's very simple. I need a friend. I need a friend. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you again. Lord, help us. Thank you that you are enough. And Lord, how my heart has been challenged in song already tonight. And Lord, we've opened your word because we need your word. And we're thankful that we have a copy of it. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and make us better tonight for being in your house. Help us, we pray, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1997, contemporary Christian music artist Michael W. Smith, he wrote and released a song that became one of his most popular hits of his career. The song was called "Friends Are Friends Forever." The lyric says this, packing up the dreams God planted in the fertile soil of you. I can't believe the hopes that He's granted meant the chapter in your life is through, but we'll keep you as close as always. It won't even seem as if you've gone, because our hearts in big and small ways will keep the love that has always kept us strong. And friends are friends forever. If the Lord is the Lord of them, that's a key statement. And a friend will not say never, because the welcome will not end. Though it is hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime is not too long to live as friends. Now, I'm sure Michael W. Smith is a fine man. I have never followed his music. I know nothing really about him, but I'm sure that he's a fine man. I have nothing good. I have nothing bad to say whatsoever about him tonight. But that is a very simple song, and I say that because I remember back in the late 1990s when that song first came out, maybe some of you do, and how that it reached across the different spectrums of music and lifestyles, and how that it affected hearts. Now, it's not a long song. It's not a flashy song. It is not a song that has got a great deal of theological doctrine. It's a very simple lyric, but in that simple lyric, there is a true, profound spiritual truth that we can actually find in it. Why? Because it speaks directly to the longing of the heart of likely every person who has ever lived. Have you ever found yourself longing to have a true, no conditions, lifelong, eternal friend? A friend like what Michael W. Smith was actually writing and singing about. If you've ever found yourself longing for that, can I ask you this question? What kind of efforts are you really making to be able to have one? Not just to make a friend, but to maintain a friend. Sarah Dessen, a novelist, she actually said it this way: life is awful, life is an awful, ugly place to not have a best friend. I think that's true, right? Life is an awful, ugly place to not have a best friend. No matter how difficult life is, If you have got a good friend, folks, they can help us see the sunshine through the clouds. They can help us make laughter even through the tears. They can help us press on in hope, in encouragement, and in optimism for another day. Now, though in different ways and in different levels, God designed His creation with not only a need, but a desire to have some good friends. In one way or another, and at one time or another, we have all found ourselves in a spot where we'd give anything to have a good, godly friend that would just stand beside us in our life. We've all found ourselves in the place where we've said, my goodness, I just need a friend. But we also always been, we have also been in a place that we were longing for that. That we have struggled to be able to find, not only to make, but to be able to maintain friends. We've struggled with that. And that's why this is really a tough topic for today's church. Now, there are several things that I want to talk to you about this evening. And the Lord, I believe, has given me an opportunity to address a couple of things. And I really do want you to just let your heart be in the Word of God tonight and see what the Lord will say to you as we talk about this tough topic. And we'll get into the tough aspect of it in just a minute after we lay the foundation for this whole thought tonight, this whole truth. I need a friend. I need a friend. Now, for us to be able to understand this principle that we're going to talk about from the Word of God, we must first consider the spiritual aspect of friendship. Did you know that there is a spiritual aspect of friendship? As a matter of fact, the reason that many of us struggle so badly with not just making but maintaining good friends in this life, it is simply because we don't have or we don't understand the foundation that is required for us to make and for us to maintain good friends. The spiritual aspect of friendship, it is first something that is revealed to us in an owned salvation. There's got to be that owned salvation. In verse number 24, our text again, the Bible says that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's the final part of our text verse, that there is a friend that sticketh closer than the brother. Now, Solomon here, he is talking about Christ, is he not? He is talking about how that the basis of true friendship, it is all found in knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. The fact of the matter is, folks, after we accept Christ and after we unashamedly own Him as the Savior, the Lord of our life, and as we pursue Him and we grow in the grace of God, what actually begins to happen is He begins to reveal to us the basis of what friendship is, because we are finding that friend in Jesus Christ. And then it opens up the doors once we begin to follow Christ and we begin to pursue His truth and among His people. It opens up the doors for us to be able to develop relationships with other people and create friendship with other people that understand and believe the same. You've got the main central focus of the Lord Jesus Christ that is the foundation of your friendship. You may be a different color in your skin. You may come from different walks of life. You may be somebody, the one has money, the other one has nothing. You may be a backwards person. You may be an outgoing person. You may have come from the north. They may have come from the south, and you met in the middle. Whatever it is, you may be different in every way, but the common denominator that'll make you a friend is the fact that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, unsaved people, I want to be clear, unsaved people can have friendships, but they will never be able to understand and fully experience the friendship that we can find in the Lord until they make Christ the Lord of his life. Now, I refer us back to the words of Michael W. Smith again, and listen to him closely. Friends are friends forever. Here it is. If the Lord is the Lord of them. Now, that's obviously speaking about eternity. We all understand that, but it is through that eternal bond of friendship that unifies the earthly bond of friendship. Again, I am not saying that you cannot, that lost world out there outside of these walls, that they cannot have friends. A lost world certainly can have friends. They just don't understand the full benefit. They don't understand what really is the glue that holds all of these relationships and all of these friendships together. But But friends, if you're going to have friends with people that are going to impact and mold your life into the way and into the person that you're going to be, you need to make sure that you are finding your friends in the right places. You cannot find your friends in the world and expect the world to steer you in the right direction. If you are going to allow people to impact and mold your life, you can only find the friends that are going to do that among spiritual places, places like this right here among the church, people that are going to believe the same things and have the same goals in life. The friends that you have in life that are going to impact and mold your life do not need to be those that are telling you the dirty jokes. They do not need to be the ones that are going to introduce you to raunchy places or shady people or people that just live right on the edge of everything. I mean, they go right up to the edge of everything. Those are not your true friends. And we tell our girls, and we have for as long as they've been able to understand, that your friends are not those that are just your friends because of what you may have to offer them, because of your popularity that you may one day have if you ever do. No, the friends are those that you find in the things of God, those that are bound together in spiritual things. And you will never understand what true friendship is until your life belongs to Jesus Christ, because He is the one who wrote the literal book on what friendship really, really is. So before you understand anything having to do with friendship, there must be the spiritual aspect of friendship in an owned salvation. But the way that we prove that owned salvation is being an obedient saint. Now you'll notice that the word is given to us here, sticketh, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It is a very progressive word. It is a word of action. It means simply to cleave or to enjoin, joining together in something. It is actually speaking of a friendship that is growing closer and closer together. It is getting stronger, as we'll talk about in a little while, as time continues to go on, based upon the efforts that all parties involved are putting into the relationship, the careful attention that is being given to that. So we are learning that Christ is the bond that brings it together, but the work still has to be done for us, and He says, by us, and He says that the friend of Christ is the one that sticks closer than a brother. Now, once again, Solomon is talking about Christ. Now, watch the connection very closely, because as he is talking about Christ, that takes us now to John chapter 15 and verse number 14, where Jesus Himself says, "Ye are my friends." The very next word is a two-letter word. It is a small word. "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Oh, wait just a minute here. That's not what true friendship is, some may say. That contradicts what you just said that you've tried to teach your daughters. Jesus is saying that you've got to be obedient to me in every way if you're going to be my friend. Is that what Jesus is saying? That's exactly what Jesus is saying. Let me tell you the difference between you and I and Him. He's God and you're not. He has every right to say whatever He wants to say. He has every right to put whatever stipulation that He desires on the relationships and the friendships that He has. Have you ever met anybody before that says that they love the Lord and the Lord is their friend and they are the Lord's friend, but yet you see and you know by their lifestyle they are living an ungodly life, they are living a vile life, they are not being obedient to the truths of the Word of God? Have you ever met anybody like that before? Now listen, we are not perfect people. I try to go out of my way to always remind us of that. You and I are messed up people. Outside of the saving grace of God, I tell you, we're nothing today. We are not by any means perfect people. But listen to me. If we do not live our lives striving every day to be obedient to the Word of God, striving every day to draw closer to the Lord, striving every day to stay out of sin in every way that we possibly can, and if we do not live our lives when we do fall into sin, immediately out of conviction of the Holy Spirit, going to Him and asking Him to forgive us of our sin, if we are not living our life that way, Jesus is saying, you're not my friend. Furthermore, Jesus is saying, you're probably not even saved if you're not doing your best to live for me. If you're not doing your best to stay out of sin, and when you do fall into sin and you mess up, if you are not through the conviction of God making those things right, he is simply saying, you're not my friend. Therefore, you do not understand what true friendship is. You do not understand the foundation and the basis of the whole thing. The next time, Brother Joel, we find ourselves in the house of God and we find ourselves singing the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, or Jesus is a Friend of Mine, maybe we just need to stop in the middle of the song and remind everybody about what we're singing. Yeah. And maybe we need to ask ourselves, are we being obedient to every principle that we can with a pure heart to the Word of God? Because Jesus says that if we are not obedient to Him, if we are not following His commandments, we are not His friends. We will never be able to understand, experience, make, and maintain friends the way that God intends it to be until we understand this spiritual aspect of friendship, until we own Christ as our Savior, and until we obey Him in every aspect that we can in this life. He owns all of us, that He controls everything having to do with us. That is the understanding of the spiritual aspect of friendship. But now let's take it a step further, and this is going to take us now into the basis of what our tough topic really is and why we struggle with this matter of friendship. It takes us beyond the spiritual aspect of friendship and to the social aspect of friendship. Now, I mentioned it this morning, but have you ever met somebody that is just socially awkward? I mean, just socially awkward. Now, I'm not being condescending by anything, and I'll tell you why in just a second. Let's just get honest before God, you know, rip off the mask. Have you ever met anybody like that, or do you meet them every time you look in the mirror in the morning? Somebody who is just socially awkward. And what I mean by socially awkward, I'm talking about somebody that they may just simply be an introvert. They may be somebody that has a hard time talking and communicating with other people. They may be somebody that just has a hard time relating with other people. Maybe it's somebody, they're just a loner. They like being alone. They like it that way. And they just have a hard time making and maintaining friends. Now, some of you may not be able to see this right now. As you've gotten to know me over the years, my wife will say amen to this. But socially awkward is something that I've struggled with through the years. How many of us can say that we struggled with that through the years? I remember I was invited shortly after we came back to the States from Germany back in 1993 or so. I was invited to Melissa's 15th birthday party up on Mowbray Mountain up there. Up on the mountain where her grandparents had a big old farm, 40, 60, whatever acre farm. And I guess I was right at 16 years old at this time or something like that. And she invited me to her 15th birthday party. We didn't hardly know each other. It was evident even way back then that she was totally love struck by me. And so I went just to make all of her dreams come true. It was a good time, but as we were wrapping up the party, there was all kinds of people there from her high school, Tennessee Temple, and people there from church. And again, I was new, and I'd only been around for a few months. I didn't know a lot of people, but they had invited me. So I went, and as we were packing up everything, I actually rode with her family, I believe, if I recall, rode with her family up there. And as we were packing up, somebody came up to me, and I kid you not, this is what they said to me. They said, John, you did good tonight. They said, I always thought you to be a socially awkward individual because you were homeschooled, and I didn't know how you would respond around all of this crowd of people that you didn't know. Well, if I wasn't socially awkward, I sure was then. I mean, how do you respond to that? It's exactly what they told me. I tell you, the fact is, I have never been able to get that out of my mind. It's always stuck right there. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to this matter of making and maintaining friends, many of us are just socially awkward. We struggle with it, don't we? I mean, some of us would just prefer being a room by ourselves and not be among a crowd of people. But what we need to understand is this. I want you to flip back and look at your text again. Verse number 24, Proverbs 18. Are you looking at your Bible? Say amen. Amen. Here's the tough topic. Are you ready? If you are the individual that would rather just stay all alone in a dark room, if you are the individual who would rather go camping by yourself in the woods, hiking by yourself, and not ever have any social interaction whatsoever, the Word of God is about to rebuke us. Are you ready? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Don't you run around whining and complaining about you not having any friends. Why, people at church, they just don't entertain me. I walk in late and I leave early. I try my best to show my face, but they just won't let me in. No. If you're going to have friends, you've got to show yourself friendly. Those people down at the rec department, they just won't have anything about me, have anything to do with me. No. If you're going to have friends, you've got to show yourself friendly. Well, I don't need any friends. We'll get to that in just a minute. But if you are going to be obedient to the Word of God and to what the Lord gave us through the pen of Solomon right here in Proverbs 18:24, let me tell you how it's going to happen. And this is a tough topic. Are you ready? If you're going to do that, first of all, there must be. Are you ready? This is tough. Are you ready? There has to be an overcome anxiety. There's got to be an overcome anxiety. Boy, I bet every one of us here, in one way or another, we struggle with anxiety. It's a battle. This is a sensitive subject in our day-to-day. Anxiety is something that has become such a big deal. I mean, you see doctors for this, and there are means of trying to get help with it. There's anxiety is there. Anxiety is very real. But if you're going to have friends and abide by Proverbs 18:24, you're going to have to overcome some of your anxiety. But aren't you thankful we've got a God that will help us with all of those things? Look again at the Bible, verse number 24 again. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now the word show that is given to us, it is actually pointing to a breaking down into pieces. If you got room in your notes or your Bible, write that. The word show, it means breaking down into pieces. And it is kind of giving us the idea is we've got to break down all of the pieces of the walls that we have built through our personality, through our practices, through our past problems, the anxieties of our lives, those walls that we have built up all through the years. We've got to break those walls down into pieces. Are you following me on this Sunday night? It is speaking, don't miss it, of dying to self. Amen. Before you're ever going to break down the walls, you're going to have to die to self. You're going to have to understand that I don't need to live in the woods and in the back room all by myself. I've got to die to self. It is further speaking of the fact that we're going to have to get out of our shell. We're going to have to get over our fears. We're going to have to be getting out of our comfort zone. And here's the thing, as I just reiterate to you now what I said a moment ago, you've got to be willing to take the first step. A man that has friends must, what? Show himself friendly. You've got to come to the place in your life where you are cutting through all of the tension of the social awkward lifestyle of you and the social awkwardness of them. The person that you are wanting to go and be a friend to, you've got to cut through all of that stuff. You've got to break down all of that anxiety that you've got. You've got to overcome that, and you've got to cut through it, and you've got to go straight to where they are and make a friend and be a friend the way that the Lord Jesus Christ has been a friend to you. Why is it okay that Christ is a friend to everybody, but we don't have to be? The Bible is clear to us in letting us know that we are to conform our lives to be just like Christ. Our anxiety sometimes, it gets the best of us, does it not? Our anxiety, it may cause us to feel sick at our stomach.
and we just don't want to have any part of it. But if we are going to have, make and maintain friends, we've got to break down the walls of that anxiety. Our anxiety, it may cause us to be insecure. It may cause us to fear rejection. But if we're going to make and maintain friends the way that God said, we're going to have to break down the walls of that. Our anxiety may cause us to be embarrassed and turn red in our face. But if we're going to obey God and make friends, we're going to have to break down the walls. Our anxiety may want us cause us to want to run the other direction and just give up and not even try anymore to have friends. But if you're going to have friends, if you're going to obey God, if you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to have to break into pieces all the walls of your anxiety. Again, I want to be very clear. Anxiety is very real. I'm not making light even a little bit of anxiety tonight. Anxiety is very real, but you have to be careful with how far you allow that anxiety, to control our lives. We've got to get control of it. If we're not careful, it'll build walls on all sides of us. And all of a sudden, we'll find ourselves as a loner with no friends at all. And we'll be in a situation where we can't win the world for Christ. We're disobeying God in every way then because we've allowed that to take place. It was this past year at our fall festival. It's a great fall festival that we had five, six months ago. And there were people all over the property, all over the place. I guess the whole day there was hundreds of people in and out of here. And there was a lady. There was a lady that requested to speak to me. And Miss Amy, you connected the two of us together. And there were some things that she wanted to talk about. And so we got a couple of chairs. We set them out here in the middle of the yard where we were in plain and clear sight of everybody. And we began to talk. You could look at her and you could tell that she had had a rough life, a rough past. And she began to share some of that with me. And she began to share some of the needs that she had in her life. When she was finished sharing some of that, I just simply came straight out and I asked her, I said, what is the greatest need that you have of life today? To which this lady said something that I wasn't expecting. See, I was expecting her to tell me something having to do with food or maybe gasoline or maybe her power bill and all of that kind of thing. And that's what I was expecting. And that would have been okay if she would have shared that. But I will never forget the look in her eyes. I will never forget the words that came out of her mouth. And this is what she said. She said, "Pastor, I just need a friend." That's what she said. She said, "I just need a friend." And then all of a sudden, tears started coming down her cheek. And then all of a sudden, she started getting fidgety and moving all over the place. And I said, "Are you all right?" I said, "Relax, it's okay." And she said, "I'm not really all right." She said, "When I get around crowds of people, I have a hard time talking because my anxiety just takes over." She got up and began to walk away, and I kind of followed her, and I called her by name, and I said, "It's okay. It's okay. We want to do what we can to help you." And we did try to help her that day. The bottom line is, when I asked her that question, she could have said anything, and we would have done what was within our ability to have tried to have helped her. But she chose to say, "I just need a friend." And the bottom line is, every one of us would have gathered around her. Every one of you ladies, I have confidence in you. You would have gathered around her and you would have tried to have been her friends. But she got up and she ran away as quickly as she could because she could not break down the walls of her anxiety. I don't know where that kind young lady is today. I would say she was probably in her late 20s, early 30s. I don't know. I don't know where she is today. But I do know that she missed a whole lot of people that could have been her friends because her anxiety. And she couldn't break down the walls. Again, I want to be very clear. I understand anxiety is real. But what we all need to know is the devil uses anxiety sometimes to keep us from being able to develop some of the most precious gifts that God places in our path. And that is the friendships that he puts right before us. But we will not embrace them. We will not allow them to be and develop what God really wants them to be. Because we aren't going to break down the walls of our anxiety. Friends, God will help you with your anxiety. God will help me with my anxiety. We've got to take that to Him and we've got to say, Lord, this is a great need of my life. I want to obey Your word. I want to be right with You, but this is a struggle. Will You please help me? There's got to be this overcome anxiety, but then there's got to be an open addition as well. An open addition, meaning we've got to be open. We've got to be willing. We've even got to see the need that we've got to be able to add on new friends. To add on new friends. I'll talk to you about a couple things here that's kind of a tough topic, but let's attack it from the Word of God, may we? Look back in verse number 24 again. The Bible says, a man that hath friends. A man that hath friends. He is speaking right here in a present tense of making and maintaining friends in multiple arenas, in multiple people. In other words, he's saying you can't have too many friends. And I tell you what, I've learned that to be the case as the years have gone on. You cannot have too many friends. And as a matter of fact, as we journey through this life, we ought to be making more and more and more as life passes us by. Are you ready? Let me share this with you. The reason many believers struggle so badly with making and maintaining friends, it is not because they struggle with anxiety. It is not because they are necessarily socially awkward. It is because they have enough friends and they think they don't need any more friends. It's not a matter they don't know how to make friends. They're socially awkward. It's not a matter that their anxiety, they just can't break down the walls of it. That's the case sometimes. We just talked about that. But in many cases in the church, I want to talk right now, in the church, it's a matter that I've got my friends already. I just don't need any more friends. They've got the friends they've always known. They've got the friends that they went to school with, the friends they grew up with, the friends that they played ball with, the friends that they work with, the friends that they go to church with, the friends that they socialize with, and the friends that they have every intention of living and dying with, and they've got enough friends, and they are not interested in having any more friends. They have always been the center of their little universe, and they're happy with that. But may I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, from experience, that God has a way of bringing all of that stuff full circle. I've shared this with you before, but God has a way of bringing all that stuff around. When you have an attitude like that, these are my friends, this is my world, it's the center of my little universe, I'm never going to need this person or that person or anybody else to come into my life, you rest assured that one day you're probably going to be on the opposite end of that spectrum. You're going to be in a place where you're going to need a friend. You see, if you're going to live a sold out, consecrated life for God, there is likely going to come a time in your life when you're going to be the new person. You're no longer going to be the star of the show. You're going to walk into a new place and you are going to need a friend to step into your life, but you will not be able to find one because you never extended the hand of friendship to somebody else when they were in need of a friend. And I could back that up with Scripture because it is the principle of sowing and reaping. You will reap what you sow. Now, if I counted accurately, I've moved 22 times in my life. 10 of those times have been to, you know, a new city or a new state or a new country, okay? They've been in a place where I've had to interact and make new friends in church or school or like settings like that. And let me tell you what I have found. Every time, particularly one place in a distant place from here, one particular scenario where I could not break through, the cliques, are y'all with me? The cliques were so thick. The cliques were so real that I could not break through. Now, I'm a pretty cool guy. Thank you, Brother Joel. Everybody else is laughing. He said, amen. Thank you for that. I think everybody else is about to faint. It's hot in here. I see everybody doing this number. But look, I could not break through. And I tried. I did everything I could to break through. But they would have nothing to do with me. Why? They had their friends. I was the outsider. I guess to them I was socially awkward. I was just the new guy. And ladies and gentlemen, the reason that I stress this so much, and y'all have heard some of this before, and I know you have, but the reason that I stress this so much is because I don't ever want us to have the reputation of what those folks had in my mind, of what those people had in my opinion, because I know how that feels. I know how hard that it is to break through. I just wanted some people in a brand new place to come and say, hey, let's go to Taco Bell with me. Hey, let's go out and play ball together. Hey, why don't we go down and do this or do that? How about you come over to my house? Let's play some games or whatever the case. I just needed a friend. And as much as I tried, they were not interested because the click was so thick. It was so real. And I don't ever want us to have that reputation. Why? It is a hindrance to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it'll stand in the way of us building a mighty church for the glory of God. Now, if you and I are going to go to the next level in the Lord's church right here at Linwood, if we're going to do great things for God in this place, listen to me. Listen to me. Are you ready? We cannot have a church of all the people that used to be here and a church of all the new people that are here now. You cannot have two churches. You've got one church and they are all together. And this group that has come in new and this group that has been here forever merge together. There is no such thing as cliques. None. You've got to add on new friends. Would you humor me for just a second? Would you do this? Just a second. How many of you folks were here when the Lord first brought us together? All I can speak to is 10 and a half years ago, 11 years. That's all I can speak to. How many of you were here then? How many were here then? Okay, there's some of you. Praise the Lord. How many of you, put your hands down. How many of you were here, have come since that time? Put your hand up. Since that time. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be very, very careful because I don't want any of these folks to have ever felt like they couldn't break in. I'm not saying that that was the case with you, okay? I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that I don't ever want it to be that way. We've got to be a people that are open to adding on new friends. And as God brings other people into our church and through the doors of this place, they've got to be welcome here. Listen, we should have and maintain our lifelong friends. I'm not saying that we don't do that. I'm not saying that we do not fellowship with them and we have fun with them. And that's not what I'm saying at all. I do that. You do that. I'm not saying that we do not do that. All I'm saying is we've got to be very careful that as God adds on new people into the church, that we don't do anything that would alienate anybody else. You can't have everybody all the time. You can't do that, okay? We understand that. But you've got to be careful that we don't alienate anybody else, that you don't hurt anybody else and make anyone else feel left out. It does not matter if they are introverted or they are extroverted. It does not matter if they are an insider or an outsider. It does not matter if they are rich or they are poor. It doesn't matter if they are black or they are white or they are red or they are yellow or whatever that it might be. It doesn't matter if they're just different. They're just socially awkward. They come from a different background. They come from a different status that some people may call it. They come from above or below the Mason-Dixon, whatever it is. You have got the bond of Jesus Christ and you can be their friends. When this group works at it and this group works at it, it's remarkable how it will always work out. And God brings relationships together. Now, let me back up and revisit what we just talked about a few moments ago. People that come into a new place have got to be willing to take a step to make friends. I've heard it, haven't you, of people, let's just talk about a church, as people may come into a church and people may say, well, I just can't break through. Well, we're not going to have cliques. We've just talked about that. Everybody is our friend, right? We're going to try to be a blessing and a help to everybody. Doesn't matter who they are. But here's the thing. We'll say to the everybodies right now, you've got to try too. You've got to try too. The people that just seem to merge into a church are the people whose feet hit the ground running. I was walking up the ramp some time ago, a couple of years ago, and there was a new family that a few years ago, I guess, that had come to our church and didn't know anybody at this point. And as I was walking up the ramp, a new family, spoke up and said, gave them my name, said, this is my name, and I sure want to get to know you if I'm going to be going to church with you. That's the way it ought to be. Somebody that's trying to make a friend, that's in line with the Word of God in Proverbs that we have been studying. So for those of us that are coming into the doors, you've got to make an effort. And for those of us that are already in the doors, you've got to make an effort. And when both parties make an effort, when both parties come together, it will always work. It does not matter how different we may be. It will always work. And the people that find the home that they need and the friends and the relationships that they need are the people who automatically say, I'm putting down some anchors. I'm not going to try on for size just a little while. No, I'm going to join up with this body of believers. I'm going to work with you until Jesus comes and we're going to win souls together. And you look around this building today and you see how God has knitted the hearts of those together. But then there are those who weren't that way. Everything had to be directed straight to them. They weren't willing to step out of their box, show themselves friendly. Those are the folks that you hear in churches across our nation today, that there'll be chatter in the darkness and in the shadows of, why am I not welcome here? No. It's a two-way street. Are you following me? You've got to be open in every way to making friends. In his book, The Grace Awakening, Chuck Swindoll, he tells the story about how during his presidency that Thomas Jefferson and a group of his friends were traveling across country on horseback. And they came to a river and it had flowed over its banks sudden downpour that had come. And the swells had washed out the bridge. And each rider, as they came up to the river, they were realizing the fact that they were going to have to cross it. Not by a bridge, but they were going to have to go through the water. And they realized they were going to be putting their life in danger to be able to do this because of the raging currents. They looked around and one man who was not traveling with them slid off of his horse and he said, I just can't do that by myself. And he began to look around. And then all of a sudden, the man asked the question, the guy who was not traveling with the president's group, he said, may I ride on the back of your horse? And he asked that question to President Thomas Jefferson, to which Jefferson replied and said, absolutely, threw his hand up, hurled him back up on the back of his horse, and a few minutes later, they arrived safely on the other side. Some of the friends that were with the president spoke up and asked the question at that point. They said, why did you select the president of the United States to ask this favor of? To which the man was shocked, admitting that he had no idea that that was Thomas Jefferson, the president of the United States. And then the man said this, all I know is on some of your faces was written the answer no. And on some of your faces was written the answer yes. And the president was a yes face. Just like that woman we were talking about a minute ago out here on our property at the Fall Festival. I am telling you, there are people all around us in the church, outside of the church. They are looking at your face today. They are trying to see, are you a yes face? Are you a no face? They want to be your friend. They want to be somebody that is just simply given a chance to come into your world and make it better for the glory of God and give you a friend, and you can give them a friend. But they don't see a yes on your face. they don't see you willing to give them the opportunity to be their friend. The fact of the matter is, the time that they walk through this door and onto our property, they are already taking the first step to come to us. This place ought to flood. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter how introverted you may be, how outsider you may be, whether you're rich, whether you're poor. I don't care. When somebody comes in here, they're already taking the first step. Overwhelm them. Show them a yes on your face. I'll be your friend. I got to move on. There's the social, spiritual aspect of friendship, the social aspect of friendship, the strengthening aspect of friendship. The greatest coalition you will ever build in your lifetime is that of friends. And understand this, they are so, so precious. But that does not mean that they do not require work. Somebody say amen. Amen. Friends require work. A friend is someone who will be an honest, you can have an honest conversation with. An honest conversation. Listen to what Solomon said in Proverbs 27 and verse number 6. He said, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." In other words, a friend can say some things to you that nobody else can say. And whenever you say some things to somebody and they don't take it, it's just proof that they're not really your friend. You do it the right way, led by the Spirit of God, and they prove the fact that they are your friend. Listen, again, we're not perfect people. And there are going to be times when we're going to rub our friends the wrong way. We're going to say something or we're going to do something that they're just simply not going to appreciate. But that does not mean that they are not our friends. That we are to them or they are to us. There's going to be friction from time to time. You're going to rub people the wrong way. Furthermore, we must never give the impression, even the mere impression, that this friendship is a one-way street. There have been times in many lives, and I've heard people talk about it, where they have felt like, I'm putting more in this relationship than anybody else, and friendships are just a one-way street. There have been many times when that's been the case, because people would not sit down and have an honest conversation so you can figure out where you went wrong. You can figure out how that we need to strengthen our friendship. The only conclusion that one can draw from that is somebody is not a true, no conditions, lifelong friend. Because when it got cloudy and when things got difficult, they divided the friendship. You ought to be able to have an honest conversation with your friend. Write this down, and I hope that you will right now. Prosperity populates friends. Adversity proves friends. Prosperity populates friends. Adversity proves friends. If you've got all the money, you've got the nicest house, you've got everything, you're going to find people that will run to you. But I tell you, when you go through the dark hours of life, when it just seems like that you are barely hanging on by a thread, the people that are truly your friends are the ones that are there holding you up so you don't fall and hurt yourself. Some people make enemies instead of friends because it's less trouble. McKenzie said that. Some people make enemies instead of friends because it's just less trouble. It is hard to maintain friendships. When things get rough, we ought to be able to go to a friend and have an honest conversation with them, and you just don't cast them aside. Has to be an honest conversation because that'll always lead as well to being a helpful companion. I love Proverbs 27 and verse number 17, iron sharpens iron. Listen to this. So as a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. It has been said that your testimony, sir, can be revealed by the countenance on your wife's face. Your testimony can also be revealed by the countenance on your friend's face according to the Word of God. Are you a real friend? A real friend will work with you through your struggles. A real friend will be there for you through the ins and the outs. They'll be there for you in the pinches and in the dark midnight hours of life. They will be there for you when you've got nothing left. They will be there for you to pick you up when you're broken. They'll be there for you to dry your eyes when you're crying. A friend is that kind of person. Value a friend who for you finds time on his calendar. But cherish a friend who for you does not even consult his calendar. Doesn't matter what's coming up. You're my friend. Doesn't matter if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I got to be at work at 5. You got a flat tire, you're my friend. It does not matter if you don't have the money to pay your bills. You're my friend. I'm going to go as far as I can to go through the couch cushions at my house to get you what you can. An honest conversation, that strengthens friends. A helpful companion, that strengthens friends. But I tell you, the true strengthening aspect of friendship, it is knowing simply that it was a heavenly connection. It's knowing that God brought these relationships together. A true friend is not someone that we have chosen for ourselves, but it is rather someone that God has placed in our lives for a purpose. Look around this room again. Would you do that for me? Just look around this room and just take your time. I'm not telling you to look for anything particular right now. Just look around this room. God's been mighty good to us. And God has brought this group of people together. And there's no way to deny it that God did it. Right here is a group that you ought to be friends with. There ought not be one thing that stands in the way. Doesn't matter if you're old or you're young. If you're rich or you're poor, if you're black or you're white, if you're an insider of Lafayette or you're an outsider of Lafayette. I was an outsider, right? It doesn't matter. They ought to be your friends. Because God has connected us together. And in His providence, we must embrace that entirely. It was the 1936 Berlin Olympics. Many of you may recognize the name Jesse Owens. He was a black American, and he was sure to win the long jump, and he was expected to set many records. However, as he walked toward the long jump pit to practice, Owens saw a tall, blue-eyed, blonde-headed German taking his practice jumps in the 26-foot range. Owens felt a little bit intimidated. He was a little bit nervous by it. Why? Well, because I just said it. Owens was a black American. And he was aware of Adolf Hitler's desire to prove Nazi superiority, especially over people of the black race. At this point, that tall German stood up and he introduced himself as Luz Long. And he said, "You're a shoo-in to qualify. You'll be able to do it with your eyes closed." For the next few minutes, Owens, the son of a sharecropper, and Luz Long, this Nazi picture of manhood and superiority, they chatted, and in just those few minutes, their hearts were knitted together. And then Luz Long said this to Owens. He said that since the qualifying distance is only 23 and a half feet, why don't you set a mark, make a mark several inches before that so you can make your jump just to make sure that you're doing plenty of distance. Owens did so, and he qualified. In the finals, Owens set many Olympic records, and he took home 2 of his 4 golds from that. The first person to congratulate him was none other than Luz Long. That man, that picture of Nazi manhood and superiority, and he did it right in full view of Adolf Hitler, sitting in his box looking down upon it. Jesse Owens never saw Luz Long again. He never talked to him again. Luz Long was killed in the German army in World War II. But in one of his publications, Jesse Owens said this, having to do with Luz Long. He said that you could melt down all of my medals and all of my cups that I have, and they would not be a plating of the 24-karat gold on the friendship that I felt with Luz Long. Would not even be a plating. Somebody that had just met for a matter of moments. I'm talking about somebody that came from a totally different world. Somebody who could have been shooting bullets at him just a little while later. But God knitted their hearts together. Could I ask you to do something one more time? Just look around this room. Just look around this room. And what I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to look around this room and I want you to see people. Look, it's okay. Look around this room. I want you to see people that you can look at and you can say, there's a 24-karat gold friendship that God has given me in my life. Keep looking. Are you not looking? You ought to be spinning your head left and right trying to find all the goodness that God has shown you in friendship right now. But as you are seeing all of these 24-karat golds, as you're looking over and you're seeing Chad, my friend, as you're looking back and you're seeing Daryl, my friend, as you're looking and you're seeing Justin, one of my newer friends, as you're looking and you're seeing Carolyn, my friend, as you're looking and you're seeing James, my friend, Lisa, friend of mine, for many years, as you're looking and you're seeing Sharon, and straight on around this room as you're seeing those 24-karat friendships, here's what I want you to be careful about. These aren't the only friendships you ought to have. So as you look around this room, you need to be mindful that God expects you to be a friend to others. As you look around this room again, would you do it again? Look around the room. This is a special room. It's okay. Look around the room. As I hope you're not getting swimmy-headed right now by looking left and right, but keep on looking around the room. Erica, you don't have to. It's tough on you, I guess. You and Jordan and Lexi, you ladies that are carrying these babies, it's all right. The rest of you, look around. Come on now, help me out. Look around. Are you looking around the room? Look around at him. I want you to pinpoint, men, I want you to pinpoint one other man. Ladies, I want you to pinpoint one other lady that you could be a better friend to. Look around. Have you found them? Have you found them? Who is the person in here that I may not have been the best friend and had that 24-karat plating of gold of my friendship? This is a tough topic because you're going to have to break down some walls of anxiety. You might even need to open up your billfold and say, let me go buy you a Big Mac. Let me sit down and be your friend. Let me help you move. Let me help you change your oil. Let me help you do this or that. Ladies, I want you to find a 24-karat friend tonight that you couldn't say was a 24-karat friend when you walked in, and start building that relationship. Men, I want you to do the same. Why? Because front and back, left and right, there are people crying out, not only in this church, but in this world, I just need a friend. Don't miss the precious gifts that God has given you. Eddie died a little over a month ago, I guess. At the funeral, there was a couple that came up that we have not seen, I guess, in years. But they were some of our dearest friends. They live in a different city, state. And they came up and we immediately embraced. They were married the same year that we were. And we picked up right where we left off. Nothing missed. Because God knitted some relationships together in a youth group some 30 years ago. Friends are precious. Thank God for the ones you've got. Break down your anxiety. Make some new ones for life. Stand to your feet, and maybe you just want to find a place down here and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for my friends.